What an honor it is to be here. How about what God did this morning? How about give him a little bit of praise, because he cleared the way for this to happen. I was in the same boat. I wasn't sure if this was going to happen. But I believe God has a message for us this morning. So I'm excited for what he's going to do, and thank you for coming today. I'm going to do something. I'm going to ask you to do something as well. A good buddy of mine was speaking here a few weeks ago, and I guarantee you he did this, and I'm going to follow his lead. I'm going to ask that you would pray. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to pray one thing. I want you to pray and say, God, if you are going to speak to me this morning, I'm going to have enough guts to listen. Would you pray that with me, please? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning, and I pray for myself, and I pray for everyone on this beach and everyone who can hear my voice, that if you are going to speak to me this morning somehow, some way, whether it's through a song, whether it's through a verse, a story, that I'll have enough courage to listen. God, this might be new to a lot of people, and that's okay, because you're an incredible God. And your desire is to see every single person's life changed for all of eternity, because that's what your book says, and we believe it. Father, I pray this morning as we open your word, as we fellowship together, that as we just sang, that Holy Spirit would come and fill this place as only he can. Thank you in advance for what you're going to teach us this morning. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you do have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 14. If you don't worry about it. I'm really not going to read it. I'm going to kind of tell the story a little bit. When I got the invitation to come to church on the beach, I thought about, what should I talk about? Thought about Jesus drawing in the sand, or, you know, meeting the disciples after the resurrection on the beach, having breakfast. But he kept taking me back to one story. And one story just kept coming and coming. I'm okay, God, I'm going to speak on that one. Found in Matthew chapter 14, and we're really going to focus on one word this morning. And we'll get to it in a second. But I'm going to read the last verse in the passage. Kind of weird that we're going to go backwards, but I want to just listen to this verse, the last verse that kind of concludes this passage. It goes like this. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Now listen, this was the very first time that the disciples said this phrase. What happened? What was it that made them, wow, the light bulb went off? What was it that they said, holy cow, this really is who he said he was? The day before this was said, Jesus just got done feeding 25 to 30,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That would probably rock some of our worlds if we ever saw that happen. But there's another thing that happened right on the heels of this that just, wow, it was probably one of the most incredible things that happened. And it happened while the disciples were out on a boat. Right after Jesus feeds these people and they're full and there's leftovers, that's my kind of meal, he says the very first word in chapter 14, verse 22, it says, Immediately he sent them out on a boat and said, go, and I'll meet you on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Immediately, right away. Why? Hey, hang on. Jesus, hang on a second. Let's just hang out. Right now, you're it. People just watched you do this incredible miracle, and you want to leave? Are you kidding? You're starting to get some clout around here. It's starting to look good for you. We're going to have that kingdom that we've been waiting for. Go. Just go. I'll take care of the multitude of the crowd. You guys just go and I'll meet you on the other side, he says. Oh, man, let's just hang out here, Jesus. This is the place to be right now. Problem is, he had another lesson right on the heels of that one that he had to teach them. So here's what happened. The disciples go out on a boat, and the Bible says they were troubled. Now listen, these guys were experts. They had been on the Sea of Galilee their whole lives. But the wind was contrary, it says in that passage of Scripture. It means they were tormented by the sea. They were scared for their life. Jesus sends them out on a boat. I'll meet you on the other side of the sea. Okay, hang on, get over there. I'll meet you there. I'm going to take care of the multitude. Here's what it says, next verse. Jesus went up in the mountain to pray. That's hysterical. Why? Why did Jesus go and pray? What did he pray for? Well, we got kind of an idea when you look at John chapter 17. Jesus, which I believe is the Lord's Prayer. If you ever read through John chapter 17, it's absolutely incredible. Jesus prays in John chapter 17. He prays for himself because he knew what was just lying ahead of him. He was going to die. He prayed for his disciples because they needed it. And he prayed for us because he knows we desperately need it. So what is Jesus praying for when he goes up on the mountain? I believe he's praying for what was about to happen. What was about to happen? Let me tell you a little bit. So they're out on the sea. And it is just incredibly, for them to be scared because they all grew up on the sea, it had to be a serious, serious storm. So the Bible says, listen to what this says. And the evening had come, so it's dark. They can't see anything. The wind, the waves, the storm is just brutal. But the boat was in the middle, tossed by the waves. The wind was contrary. But now in the fourth watch, which was about 3 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the morning, that's when the fourth watch, everybody took turns, three-hour shifts, watching the storm. Well, I don't think any of them were sleeping during the storm, obviously. But it says that they were in the middle of the storm, and Jesus went to them. Jesus went to them. Listen, you might be here today, and you're going through a storm. I don't know what your storm is. You don't know what my storm is. But Jesus wants to go to where you are. That's the kind of Jesus we have. He knows your storm. He knows what's going on. He knows it way better than you do. That's how awesome our God is. Amen? He knows the storm you're in. He knows the boat you're in out on the water. Listen, just because it's stormy, he can see where you are. Just because it might look like there's no way he can find me in this storm, he knows exactly where you are. And it goes on and it says this. Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Jesus didn't just show up in the storm. He showed up on the storm. Jesus came to them walking on the water. Now, you just saw 25 to 30,000 people get fed by five loaves of fish and two loaves, whatever. You know what I mean. Okay? You saw that happen, and then some dude's walking on the water. You can't see him. It's stormy, but somebody's walking on the water. Woo! It's freaky. Things are starting to get all out there now. But you know what? Listen. Jesus is in the middle of the storm with them. What are you going through? What's going on in your world that you're nervous about? That you maybe you got a diagnosis. God is right there with you. My Bible tells me he will never leave you or abandon you. I thank God for that. Been through a few storms in my day, but God's always been there. Sometimes I didn't recognize it. Sometimes I didn't care, but he's always been there. So Jesus is walking on the sea. The disciples see it and they're like, ah, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. They're freaking out. They don't know what's going on. They see this stuff. Somebody's walking out there. Can't really see. Can't make it out. They think it's a ghost. And here's the one word we're going to focus on. The next verse says, listen, he says, listen, wait, guys, it's me. Don't be afraid. Easy for you to say. It's me. Don't be afraid. Peter, the guy who was always getting the bad rap, he's the one who chopped the dude's ear off. He's the one who's got the big mouth. He's the one who's always getting himself in trouble. Hang on a second. before you go there, wait. Peter pipes up and he says, hey, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come. What? What? Why would you do that, Peter? You know, you're a fisherman. You're good on the boat. You're not good on the water in this storm. Wait. Listen, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come out there. I want to come out there. Why? Why? Because it's probably safer with you than it is in here. Isn't it always safer with Jesus? It always is. Maybe you haven't experienced that yet, and maybe today's the day you experience that. Jesus, if it's you, command me to come. Here's the word. Come. That's all he says. He didn't give instructions. He didn't give details. He didn't say, take 3 steps, turn left. And then when you get to the tree, turn right. No. He just said, come, Peter, come. Maybe today is the day for you to come to Jesus. That's my prayer. If you've never done that before, I pray and have been praying like crazy that today would be the day of salvation if somebody needs to come to Jesus today. Because that's all he's saying. Hey, come. Come. God loved you so much. Listen carefully. God loves you so much that he didn't just talk about it, but he demonstrated his love, the Bible says. He demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. That's not just love. That's not just talking. That's not just blowing smoke. That's saying, listen, there was a separation that took place between me and my creator, my creation, mankind. Sin happened in the garden. The Bible says because of that sin, we're all separated from God. But I love you. Why? Because I created you in my very own image. I created you to have a relationship with me, God speaking. And I love you so much, and I want to bridge that gap between me and my creation. And there's only one way. That's my son, Jesus Christ. The Bible said God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, my favorite word in the entire verse, that whoever, doesn't matter what side of the tracks you grew on, doesn't matter what we did growing up, God still loves you. And he proved it. That whoever believes in Jesus Christ shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My question this morning is, do you have everlasting life? Are you sure of where you're going to spend eternity? I am. I made the greatest decision of my life, 7 years old. I knew that there was something in my life that needed to change. I knew that there was only one person who could save my soul, and his name was Jesus Christ. And I placed my faith and my trust in him on that day. Growing up at Riverside Baptist Church, sitting 3 rows back in the pew, those hard rock wooden pews, and he said, anybody want to know where they're going to spend eternity? Whoop! I wanted to know where I was going to spend eternity. The Bible says that God has placed eternity in every single person's heart, every one of us. He's placed it there. Everybody, why do you think there's so many books, so much money spent on the afterlife? Because we all want to know where we're going to spend eternity, right? I do. Here's what my Bible tells me, that I can absolutely know where I'm going to spend eternity. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, 11, 12, 13. The Bible says this, he who has the Son of God has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Here's why I'm writing this to you. The Apostle John says that you would absolutely know that you have eternal life. I don't think it gets any better than that. With the mess that our world is in right now, and it's in a mess, to know where I'm going to spend eternity, I don't think there's anything greater that you can know. How do we know that? How can we know for sure where we're going to spend eternity? The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I'm going to ask you in a little while to do that if you haven't done it yet. If you would place your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, Jesus said these words, listen, John chapter 14 and verse 6, I, Jesus speaking, am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, repeat that after me, no one, that stunk, no one comes to the Father except through me. I don't think that leaves anybody out. Jesus is the only possible way for anyone to go to heaven for all of eternity. I didn't say it, Jesus did. I believe that with all my heart. And I place my faith and my trust in that. I believe Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven. That's what the Bible says, and I believe that with all of my heart. So the question is what are you going to do about it? Are you going to make the greatest decision? Not because I said so. I'm just a fat guy up here with a mouthpiece. That's it. It's your decision. It's your choice. You have to decide for yourself. Oh, do I wish I could do it for everybody here today. You're a Christian now because I said so. You're a follower of God because I said so. You're now a part of the kingdom of God because I can't do that. I don't have any power like that. But I know who does. And his name is Jesus Christ. And my prayer this morning is today you would do that if you have never done that. If you've never placed your faith and your trust in Jesus, today would do that. Why? Because he's still saying the same thing. Come. Come. Now, listen. Peter's been on the Sea of Galilee all his life, but he's never been on the Sea of Galilee before. That was the very first time. Well, you know what? Maybe today you're here and you need to hear God say, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Maybe today you need to hear that. Maybe you're going through something. You're a follower of Jesus Christ, and maybe today you need some rest. You need to bask in the arms of Jesus Christ for healing, whatever it might be. In whatever relationship or finances, whatever it is, you need to come. Because you're weary and you're heavy burdened. He still says, come, because I'm here for you. I got big arms and I can hold you all. Whatever it is, he wants you to come today. It doesn't stop there. After he says, come to Peter, Peter gets out of the boat. That's why I said, don't give him such a hard time. You know, I know he's got a bad rap for doing things, but he was the only one of the 12 disciples in the boat that got out of the boat. Amen. He's the only one that had enough courage to say, I'm going where you are because I guarantee you where you are is safer than here. Maybe you need to get out of your boat. Maybe today's the day you get out of your boat because it's comfy and cozy there and run to Jesus because he wants to do more than you could ever ask or imagine and you've been sitting on the sidelines playing games, treading water. Maybe today's the day to get out. So Peter gets out of the boat. And he starts walking on the water. Woo, woo. Give a little bit for Peter. Woo-hoo. All right. Peter gets out of the boat. He starts walking to Jesus. He's on the water, walking on the water. Uh-oh. You know what the next word says? But the wind and the waves were contrary, and he got distracted. That's me. Blah, blah, blah. That's me way too often. We get distracted. Come. All right. Oh. We start getting a little, we focus on our circumstance and our situation, and we take our eyes off of Jesus, and what happens? We start to sink. Lord, save me. Save me. Peter, knucklehead, stand up. Stand up. All right, you're good. Listen, this is my favorite part of the story right here. Oh, you have little faith. Don't go there. He had a little faith. That's better than having no faith, right? Wait, hang on. And then it says this. They got in the boat together. Now, it doesn't say how far away Peter walked. It doesn't say that. But isn't it cool that Jesus picked him up and they walked side by side, who knows how long, but they walked on the water together back into the boat. Jesus is with you. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he's with you. He's going to pick you up when you take your eyes off of him. Say, come on, big daddy, let's go. Here we go again. Let's get back in the boat again. And we walk for a little while together. I love that part of the story. And then the verse that I read at the beginning, when they got back into the boat, they all said, truly, you are the Son of God. What an awesome, awesome testimony. Why? They just saw all these thousands of people get fed. They just saw Jesus on the water. They saw Peter walk a little ways on the water. They come back together. Whew. You really are who you said you were. You really are the Son of God. You really are the one that we've been waiting for. Now, they were waiting for some other Messiah to come, some other Savior to come to set up things that he wasn't going to come and do because he had a different plan, the plan. But he is. He was then and he is today the Son of God, the Savior of the world who put skin on, who humbled himself and became obedient and came and took on the form of man. Oh, my. But he did it because he loves you. I'm going to pray in just a second. Here's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to make a decision. Not for me. I already made my decision, and it's the greatest one I ever made. But I want you to make a decision, if you have not yet followed Jesus Christ, that you would come today. Because that command, Peter said, command me to come, and he said, come. Is he saying to you today, come? If he is, then come. Don't put it off, because we're not guaranteed another day. There's no guarantee that tomorrow's going to happen. But there is a guarantee that there is an eternal destination for every one of us. There are two choices. It's either heaven or hell, and you choose. That's what the Bible says. So, I'm going to pray for a lot of different things today. I'm going to pray for those that have never accepted Jesus Christ, never received the gift of salvation. It is a gift. It's free. There's no strings attached. There's nothing that you can do to earn your way to heaven. There's nothing that you can do to be good enough to get to heaven. That's what the Bible says. It's not by works, lest any one of us could boast or brag, hey, I got to heaven because I was good. No, that's not going to happen. Maybe today needs to be the day you make that choice. You want to run from the way that you've been living. It might not have been that bad. But there needs to be a transformation. The Bible calls it repentance, that I turn from my sin. I don't want to do my way any longer. I'm done with that. I want to go God's way. Come into my heart and change me today, God. I don't know what all this means. I'm not really sure, but I know that there's been a void in my life, and Lord willing, Jesus can fill it. And I'm also going to pray this morning for those of you that need to come because you're tired, you're frustrated, you're sad, you're lonely, you're whatever it might be. You fill in the blank. And I want you to come today. Come and say, pray for me because I need healing in this area or that area or what I need prayer. And I'm going to pray for you this morning. So whatever it is God spoke to you this morning, because we prayed that he would, and I pray that he did, you respond. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this day that you have created, how you parted the clouds, because you had a message for us to hear today. God, I do pray for that one or those many that might be here this morning, that you spoke to their hearts and you said there is something that you need to do today, and I pray that they follow through. The Bible says is that all of us are sinners and we all fall short of your glory. We're sinners and the payment of that sin is death. We deserve to die for our sin because that separates us from you. However, God, you in your incredible love for your creation provided a way, and his name is Jesus, who is the way, not one of the options, but he's the way. And God, I pray that as we pray this morning for ourselves, that we would do whatever it takes to make sure we know where we're spending eternity. You came that you may have life here on this planet and life for all of eternity. That's the most awesome thing in all the world. And I thank you for sending that indescribable gift in your Son, Jesus. So as we pray this morning, I pray that somebody may want to echo this prayer to you. God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that there is no way I can save myself. I know that Jesus, I don't know all about it, but I know that Jesus is the only way because the Bible said that. And I'm sorry for my sin. I want to stop. I'm not going to be perfect, but I want to stop going my way. Please come into my heart and change me today. And Lord, I pray for those that might be here today that need to come to you because they're tired, they're sad, there's sickness, there's relationship issues, financial, whatever it might be. Thank you for your word as you say, come to you all who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. God, I pray for them today. Even if they don't come up here, that Lord, but they would feel your presence today. That they would run to you, that you would be their everything. Father, I pray this morning that you would do a work in all of our hearts, that your Spirit truly has reigned in this place. And I'm going to ask with everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed this morning to ask Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior, realizing he's the only way to heaven, I'm going to ask you to do something. Because I quoted a verse earlier that says, if you confess with your mouth, I'm not going to ask you right now to confess with your mouth, but I am with your hand, that you would put it up and raise it and say, you know what, I believe today is the day that I prayed to ask Jesus into my heart. Is there anybody that would do that this morning? Just raise your hand quick. Put it back down. That's fine. But maybe God's calling you, so you answer that call. And God, I pray that those that are here that needs other kind of prayer and healing and really a ministry from you today, God, that they would feel that. They would come and seek somebody out so somebody can pray with them and for them. Thank you, God, for how awesome you are. In Jesus' name, amen.